Ron wins the Masters Marathon.
Yes, it has finally arrived. Masters Week here on the Teed Up Golf Podcast. Amazing time of year for the golf fan. And we have put together a jam-packed week of episodes for you all in the lead-up and during the 88th edition of the 2024 Masters Tournament. First cab off the rank is a favourite of the podcast, a young up-and-comer by the name of Jasper Stubbs, who's a three-timer now on the Teed Up Pod. He won the 2023 Asia-Pacific Amateur in a playoff at Royal Melbourne Golf Course back in October to secure his place at Augusta National. He's 22 years old, full of confidence and intrigue. On this episode, Jasper talks us through his journey to the Masters, what the last few months has looked like, and what he is most looking forward to for this week. Follow Jasper this week via our socials, that's Teed Up Pod on Instagram, and of course, the amazing Masters app, and you can also jump over and give Jasper a follow. Get around the young fella, he's 22, and he is going to take the world by storm. Can't wait to watch him peg it up against the world's best. Let's get over to Jasper Stubbs. Jasper Stubbs, three-timer. Now, you're in rare company with that, mate. Back on the pod, 14 days out from the first tee shot being spanked at Augusta National. Great, man. Welcome back.
Thanks, Hugh. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be back and joining some elite company with number three.
Oh, mate, there's not many number three. I think Mika, Herbie, so the big names are all number three. So, mate, we're looking forward to having this chat with you and breaking down Augusta National for this week. This will be coming out the Monday before the Masters. You're about to jet out to get over there with your crew. So very, very thankful for you to give us some time. But, mate, how are the nerves? Are you ready to roll?
Yeah, the nerves are pretty good at the moment. Can't imagine it'd be the same when I get on the first tee in a couple Thursdays' time, or even just when I'm walking the course on Monday during the practice round. But I guess that's something we'll have to wait and see. But for now, they're good, and I'm just excited to get over there.
Now, mate, I've played golf with you twice now, and I was having a chat with Adam Baldwin yesterday, who we had a hit with the top dog up there at Producey, and we spoke about how relaxed you are for, what are you, 22. Is that going to be something that you work on with like your sports socks and all those guys at GA, just like how cool, calm and collected you are? Because down the stretch at APAC when you won the Asia Pacific Amateur, you were so cool in that playoff. Is that something you've worked on in the past?
Yeah, definitely something I've worked on. I used to be a little tight and tense kid, so it's something I've worked on all the way through my schooling at Roeville Sports Academy with the team there, and then also since I've journeyed out to the Golf Australia program. So, yeah, like I think it's something that holds you in good stead in those pressure situations, and, yeah, something I'm looking to keep going as I head to the Masters and, yeah, for further tournaments as well.
Mate, unreal. And yeah, you're pretty cool down the stretch when you had like a 15-shot lead on us the other day at Peninsula Kingswood.
Absolutely.
Mate, let's talk through your preparation. So you won the Asia Pacific back on the 6th of October. So you've had a fair wait to this point. You won against Winyae Ding in the second hole playoff down the composite course at Royal Melbourne, which was, I believe, was the best finish to a most intense anyway, televised golf tournament of 2023. You got mobbed by the rest of the Aussies and all. It was a bit of a whirlwind for you. We've spoken to you since you've won there. But what was it like sort of the following weeks after that? I know you went over to NZ and then you played a few Aussie tour events. You played, I think, an Asian tour event. But what was that sort of like for you and just getting your feet back on the ground after that huge result?
Yeah, obviously it was an amazing week at Asia Pacific and capped it off there with the boys huddled around me on the 18th green, which was pretty cool. But the feet had to get back down on the ground pretty quick. Had to fly to New Zealand the next day for a tournament. And then, I mean, basically from there on, I played a tournament every week until I had a break around Christmas time. So it was pretty busy and I didn't have too much time to sort of relish in the fact that I'd just won, but it was all just preparing for the next sort of events that, and obviously more and more events were popping up because of the win and bigger events as well. So it was getting ready for those. And then, just finishing off the year as good as I just played at Asia Pac was the plan.
And you did. Mm. Yeah, I watched you around the Aussie Open. You played in the final round with one of our mates as well, Michael Block. You finished T21 at the Aussie Open, which was an amazing field this year. Like, all the big dogs came back. Min Woo, Joaquim Niemann's pound for pound probably one of the best players in the world right now. You'll be taking him on again in a couple of weeks. But what was that like, sort of up at the Aussie Open? Eyes would have been on you. Before that, you were probably relatively an unknown in the professional golf ranks at a big tournament like that. What was that like, being people actually coming out to watch you play and playing with Michael Block, who was definitely flavour of the year in 2023?
Yeah, I think it was awesome. Obviously, my first Aussie Open, and a goal was just to be around for 4 days. And then it's always a goal once you get to the weekend to just push your name up the leaderboard as good as you can. And I think, yeah, playing with Blocky, he was an awesome guy. And on that Sunday, he did some of the coolest things I've ever seen on a golf course, in terms of, like, one hole he just grabbed ordered a whole bunch of pizzas out to the tee and handed them out to the viewers watching us, and like even was offering us some slices. But that was pretty cool to see. He was a great guy, and yeah, that just sort of sets the tone for a pretty relaxed, easy day. And we sort of all played well that day, and I pushed my way up the leaderboard nicely.
Yeah. Did you have a good chat with him about sort of the pressure that he might have felt, you know, being just he's just a teaching pro, yeah, essentially is what he is, but who has had a couple of good weeks. You know, he's played probably like three or four majors, or five majors, even more, and a lot of PGA Tour events. But is there any advice that he gave you in terms of just with all the experience he's had in golf?
Yeah, I think it was just sort of prepare as well as you can and try and not get too ahead of yourself and too nervous. Like, obviously, he's a pretty laid back and like carefree kind of guy, it seems, on the golf course. And I think that's probably why he's had such a good week at the PGA last year. Just not getting too ahead of himself, and like pretty stayed patient and pretty relaxed throughout all of it, it looked like. And yeah, so that's what he basically said.
No, he was so good over here with his time and everything like that. And it seemed like yourself and Hayden Hopewell, who else you played with, just had a great day. And he even signed a fan's chip in the media area after the round, which was very, very, very odd.
Yeah.
But no, he seemed like a laid-back fella. And it was great that you guys got that experience, even for Hayden, who's over there playing on the Challenge Tour now. You know, I think that was just a great experience. It just seemed like Blocky gave you guys so much time, which he copped a fair bit of heat coming out here from the Australian golf media and, you know, players and whatnot. But I think the money well spent, and the way that he handled it was unbelievable. Just an absolute chiller.
Yeah.
I saw him in the fan area like 3 hours after you guys finished, just drinking pots with randoms at a table.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't know who they were. They were just, you know, just blokes out there watching the golf, sitting having a beer with Michael Block.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But the wash up from that, mate, you had your break. What was your Christmas break like? And you would have got your letter from Augusta National in that time as well. So, were you checking the mailbox every day? What was that like?
Yeah, I knew around roughly what day it was coming. And so, yeah, from a couple of days before it to like until it arrived, I was definitely checking the letterbox to make sure it hadn't got lost along the way. I wasn't trying to have a mismatch with what happened a couple of years back, where someone else with the same name got the letter, and I think it was Scott Stallings or someone like that who it happened to. Or yeah, that was the last thing I would want to happen. But no, it came on the 22nd of December, and it was a pretty good early Christmas present. But yeah, and then got to spend a couple of weeks off, which was pretty nice.
Nice. How did the family celebrate when the letter finally came? Is it framed somewhere, or what have you done with it?
Yeah, it's in a picture frame, just sitting there looking pretty. No one else has touched it. As soon as it came out, the invitation, I put it in like a plastic pocket, and it just stayed like that, hung up on the Christmas tree for a couple of days, and then, yeah, went straight into a picture frame, and, yeah, no one's touched it since. So.
Oh, that's unbelievable, mate. That's really, really cool. And, mate, so the start of this year, you played on the Aussie Tour. You've had a couple of okay finishes, haven't set the world on fire, but obviously the eye's been on the prize, getting over to Augusta.
Mm.
Played the New Zealand Open a couple of weeks ago, then you've had a couple of weeks off. What's the preparation been like with your coach and with your team as well, sort of getting to where you are now? Obviously, Golf Australia supporting you through this, being one of the elite amateurs in the program, but what's that been like, sort of 2024 and locking into the two majors you're playing?
Yeah, so I mean, 2024 is sort of, like you said, it's looked like a lot of golf tournaments from the start of January to the New Zealand Open just a couple of weeks back now. But really for me, the preparation for Augusta started back in sort of mid-December. I had sort of as soon as I got my finished all my events, I went in with my coach and my physio, and we sort of discussed what the next 4 months is going to look like in the lead up to Augusta at the time. Like, was what we were solely looking at. So sort of basically laid the groundwork for that in January, February. And then this month sort of been like just dialing it all in, and how am I hitting certain shots? Like, how can I play this shot a little bit different, and just sort of like working out how to play golf properly and working out how to suit it into a golf course like Augusta National off some different slopes and to some tight pins on some funky greens.
Yeah. Now, mate, you went over there as well. So back end of February, you had your little trip over there with one of your mates and got in the pro shop. Like, you were probably like a kid in a candy shop at heading over there for the first time. What was it like driving up Magnolia Lane and having a look at this facility when all the stands probably were just starting to get put up? And, you know, what was it like just going up there and having your practice rounds?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, honestly, I still can't even really describe how amazing it was to be able to go there. Like you said, no crowds, no grandstands really. And the place looked empty, but it still, like, you could still tell it was Augusta, and it was still amazing at the same time. And yeah, like Magnolia Lane, I think we drove up there at like 5 kilometers an hour the first time, just taking it all in, just going as slow as we could, and we wanted to enjoy it. It was amazing.
Yeah. Was there a favorite hole that you've already picked out from your practice rounds, or a shot that you hit where you're like, oh, that's cool?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved the 16th hole. I think it's that one that's like right at the end of the round that everyone thinks of, and it can be a bit of a make or break in Masters weeks. So I think that one was probably my favorite hole coming into it and coming away from or playing it for the first time. And yeah, obviously there's a ton of cool shots that I had to hit while I was there as well, like the Bubba shot, and yeah.
I bet it fills you with a bit of confidence, like going there and having a hit. Mm. And then going over there now, like if you're going there playing a blind for the first time, how would your nerves be in compared to actually being over to go and have a crack on the course before you go?
Yeah, I think I was pretty nervous the first day I got there in February, having to tee it up there just for a social round. It was pretty nerve-wracking. But I think if I hadn't have done that trip and I get over there in April and I'm even just playing practice rounds, I reckon I would have been twice as nervous. Obviously, you've got the people there at that stage. And I think, yeah, the point of that trip was to get all that sort of awe and the aura of the place out of the system, and then like learn a little bit, but come back and you've sort of done it before, been there before, and then just play golf when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So pumped for you. Now, the Aussies have a pretty rich history at the Asia-Pacific Amateur. So we've had 4 winners in the past. Just last year, Harrison Crowe went over and played at Augusta, did the exact same way that you did. He won in Thailand. Mm-hmm. Curtis Luck, and I think it was Adrian Madarka, won it back in the day as well. So rich history with amateurs going over there and having a crack. Have you spoken to any of those boys, picked their brains on what they did and sort of adopted any of those strategies that they've had?
Yeah, had a pretty good chat with Crowey when we were playing an event in December. He was telling me all about his experiences, and yeah, definitely taken some of those ideas and like what he wished he did better on board. And I think the way I've got my week set up is going to look pretty good for me, and I'm pretty happy with how everything's tracking along now after chatting with him.
Nice. What does the week look like, mate? Obviously, the family will be piling on over there on the big jumbo to get over and watch you. Got your caddy going in a bit of a team. But how does the week play out? So start with touching down in Augusta, and can you sort of lay it out for us and the listeners how that looks for you?
Yeah. So I'm leaving on Monday the 1st of April, and I'll get into Orlando, Florida. Couple of days that's when I'll get into Orlando, and then I'll spend a couple of days there at the Golf Australia house before driving up on Saturday the 6th to Augusta, and then that's when I'll touch down there, and Sunday will just be a bit of a practice day, and then Monday head out on course, and from there on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is all practice rounds, all the media stuff that I'll have to do, amateur dinner, Path 3 competition. I'm going to try and do it all, like not leaving any stone unturned while I've got the opportunity to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah, Path 3 contest. You get to have someone who's not your caddy for you? Have you got any plans for that? I know we were talking about it when we played the other week. You weren't 100% sure, but have you locked that down?
Yeah, I've locked it down. My brother's going to caddy for me. It was a toss-up between my dad and my brother, and dad didn't reckon he could make it round for nine holes carrying a bag, so the brother got the call up.
Jeez, your brother must be licking his lips. That'll be awesome. And the whole family's going over. Obviously, your sister's a good golfer as well over there at college. But what's it meaning to them getting over there? They must be as excited as you are.
Yeah, I think they're actually almost a little bit more excited. I mean, I'm super excited, but at the same time, I'm going there to play good golf as well. And I think, yeah, they're excited just to be able to watch me and watch one of my dreams come true. So they're super excited, and yeah, they can't wait. So I'm pretty happy that I'm going to be able to see them over there and have them there with me on that week.
No, it'd be very special for you guys, mate. Now, mate, let's chat about your caddy. Mm-hmm. He's the ace up your sleeve, I'm guessing, because he was so calm. He was talking about Craig Parry's fingers during your final round at the APAC. And I reckon that solely got you over the line. Wasn't I to mention that again, but I have. And then he's already caddied at Augusta before, so he's got a lot of experience. Tell us about that relationship and what you guys are working on together.
Yeah, so my caddy, I'll remind you his name, Q. His name's Simon Clark. Yeah, so obviously he caddied for me at the Asia Pacific. I mean, I've known him for probably 3 or 4 years now. He's been a part of the game, which was originally run by Jeff Ogilvy in Victoria. And so he helps run that. And it's now run by Matt Griffin as well, alongside him. And so that's sort of how we were introduced. And I guess sort of late last year, or midway through last year, when I just got into the Asia Pacific, Golf Australia asked if I wanted to have a professional caddy on the bag for the week. And he was obviously local and knew Royal pretty well, so his name came up. And having already known him, I think that made Asia Pacific pretty easy. Like you said, we were making some jokes along the way the whole time, and that sort of just helped keep me relaxed and calm. And I think that's going to help when I get to Augusta as well. But yeah, we've had another caddy for me down at the Vic Open. I was playing pretty good, and I didn't quite play my best and missed the cut. But I think we've got some good experiences now to build on.
Yeah. And he's caddied at Augusta before, like I mentioned. Yeah. Who did he caddy for, and when was that?
Yeah. So he caddied back in the 90s for Brant Jobe, an American guy. He played out on the seniors tour for a while as well. And then he caddied for Ryo Ishikawa in 2013 as well. So I think he got both those guys across the line of the cut. So we'll see. We'll see if we can make it 3 for 3.
Mate, let's hope. Now, the amateurs at the Masters. So last year, Sam Bennett sort of paved the way. He was pretty much leading the tournament behind Brooks, or he's sitting behind Brooks going into the weekend. He ended up finishing tied 16th. Now, the amateurs win the Silver Cup for low amateur. It's full of prestige, and you know, it doesn't get you anything apart from prestige. Unless you finish top 12, you don't get an invite back. But what are the goals for you, mate, sort of setting into the Masters? Obviously, winning the tournament, you're not going there to play for second. Like you've qualified, you're red-hot chance. I'll play with you a few times, you smoke it. But what are sort of some of the things you want to get out of the experience if you're not to win the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just looking to enjoy it as much as I can. Like I've said, do all those things that you can only do at the Masters, par threes, crow's nest. Like, just, I think I don't want to walk away from the week wishing I had have done more. So I'm just going to try and do it all. But obviously, golf-wise, the goal is just it'll sort of ramp up. Like, so once I've made the cut, then the goal is to push for as high as you can get on the leaderboard, and then obviously it's the low am, and then it's the top 12 to get back into next year. And then the ultimate goal for everyone who plays in the Masters is obviously wearing something green home on the plane at the end of the week. But you know, like, yeah, first goal is just to make the cut and get that out of it, I guess.
No, that'll be great, mate, and I'm pretty sure you will. You're in good form, and if your form from 2 weeks ago at PK off the whites is anything to go by, you're a big chance of bringing home that green jacket.
Yeah.
Now, I know you've played with some big dogs of late, Dill Buckley, Baldy, myself. Brad McGill reckons he's going to beat you this weekend, but who's one guy who's, you know, you've idolised? You're 22, so you would have seen Rory and all those guys growing up, but who's one guy that you want to just watch how they go about it or pick their brain if you get the opportunity to and learn from up close at Augusta?
Yeah, I mean, out of such a elite field, I think it's hard to pick just one. But obviously, if you're talking Aussies, Cam Smith, who's been probably the best Australian golfer in the last 5 years, definitely want to pick his brain a little bit if I can, and just see how he goes about his tournament prep and like how he like hits some shots and what he's thinking, sort of thing. That'd be pretty cool. But on the out of the whole field, I guess John Rahm would be ultimately amazing to be able to watch. Obviously, ex-champion, so he's going to be hot property this week. But yeah, it's going to be it'll be cool to be able to see him live for sure.
No, it'll be phenomenal. If you get a chance, just go and watch McIlroy hit a ball and tell me if it's as good as it looks on TV, because he's going to have fire in the belly, the big fella. I think he's going to be
he wants that career slam, eh?
Yeah, but I want you to roll him, so that's get stuff, plan. Roy. Get on the Stubbs train. We're all on board.
Yeah.
But, mate, it's been a pleasure to have you on again, and we can't wait to watch you peg it up, and I'm hoping we'll be able to get you on Postmasters as well. Before you go, mate, winning the APAC, you didn't just get invited to play the Masters. You also got a ticket to Royal Troon. Mm-hmm. Now, can we talk about the gap in between the Masters and Royal Troon? Mm-hmm. So, as an amateur, there's not a heap of tournaments that you can play here in Australia. So, what does that look like for you post-Masters leading into Royal Troon?
Yes, I mean, once I get back from the Masters, I'll most likely take a little bit of time off, whether it's just a couple of days or maybe a week. And then after that, we've got our interstate series here in Australia, so I'll play in that. And then after that, it won't be until sort of early June where I head overseas to the UK and I'll play a couple of the biggest amateur events over there. And then from there, the plan is to finish off at the European Am in Denmark before either coming back home or doing a little scouting trip to Royal Troon nearly a month before the Open. So not exactly sure what that looks like yet, but yeah, definitely heading overseas for some opportunities after the Masters.
Yeah, phenomenal, mate. Mm. Now, the all important stuff, mate, leading into the Masters, you're going to be on TV, you're going to be interviewed a lot, and the talk about you throughout the Asia Pacific was, he's a big strapping lad. Have a look at the size of him. He's been doing a bit in the gym. Since last time I saw you, mate, I reckon you dropped a couple. So are you going to try and get a bit of a pump on the next couple of weeks? And what does the fashion stakes look like? What have you got, your outfits all ready to rock and roll? What's that looking like?
Yeah, so I guess you could say I've been, since you made that comment about me dropping some, I've been trying to get in the gym a little bit more. So there's been a few more gym sesh. So we'll see how it looks come Masters week when I'm on TV. But I've got the outfits planned out already pretty much too, and feeling good about that sort of stuff.
Good boy, we love it. We're gonna be watching you very eagerly, mate. Absolute pleasure, and I'm so stoked for you, mate. You're one of the good young fellas in the world of golf, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you over the last 6 months. All the very best, great man. And we'll all be watching you with much intent over the Masters tournament.
Thank you very
congrats,
much,
mate, and good luck.
Cheers. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Tee It Up Golf podcast. If you could please help support the show by hitting the subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening on and giving us a rating of 5 stars. It goes such a long way to help us progress the show. Also, jump over to our Instagram page, Tee It Up Pod. We're on TikTok, we're on YouTube, we're doing all that sort of stuff. So to stay up to date with what is going on with the show, for feedback, guest suggestions, or advertisement inquiries, please email us at hello@teeitupod.com. Cheers.